Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I was stumbling around on the internet today, and I found a source with 35 photographs of Barack Obama as a young man. And I must say, he really looked cool. I don't understand why cool is suddenly a controversial word. He was cool. I mean, black glasses. You could almost see the smoke from his cigarette rising in the air. He was a very cool young guy. I mean, he hung around with nice-looking friends. All of the guys he was with were nice looking. They all slouched and wore dark glasses. I mean, I don't know why they're taking offense to the fact that they say he was cool. So I posted them on michaelsavage.com, where you can find all the news stories of the day. And I don't really want to talk about that right now. I'll tell you what's really intriguing me. I wonder if it's going to intrigue you. The headlines I'll get to. The news I'll get to. But you know what's really on my mind? This election is so darn important that I have decided to come out of semi-reclusive retirement, that is public appearances. I have not appeared in public since 2004. The last public appearance I gave was in 2004 at the then, they call it, I forget what it's called, the Hilton, what was it called, Beowulf? Does anyone know? The Concord Pavilion, now known as the Chronicle Pavilion. 7,000 paying attendees came out to that event. I drove out on the stage in my red Cadillac. Teddy was on the stage with me. He was a brand new little puppy at the time, a little guy. And because this election coming up is so important, I want to talk about the fact that I have finally decided to come out of reclusiveness, and I'm going to announce my upcoming fall speaking tour right now on the Savage Nation. I don't have the dates fixed. You can check my website, michaelsavage.com, over the next few weeks for the dates. But I'm going to meet you, my public. After Labor Day, Marin County Civic Center. Place I've been to many times before. October, two events in South Florida. Then possibly Times Square in New York City in a theater. Houston, Texas, and other locations. Here's the question for you, the audience. What would you want to see me do on stage? What stage set would you design for my appearance? Which books would you want me to read quotes from? Which bits would you like to see me do? Liberals only listening to the Savage Nation. Would you come out to see me live? And if so, why? What do you want to see? Should Teddy be on the stage with me? Any other tips for this live performance on the Savage Nation? Oh, yes, one other question. For those who want to see people who have never seen or heard Michael Savage in person, how would you describe me in one sentence for the general public? If you were asked as an ad copywriter, make believe you're one of the madmen on a TV show, and I come to you and I say, how do you describe Michael Savage to the general public? One line. I'm open to that. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. Here are some of the other topics that we can talk about. They're a little trivial, really. Napoleon Bloomberg in New York City, who wants to end the 32-ounce Slurpee because he hates poor people. As I have said, and I don't know why people haven't picked this up, why stop at banning 32-ounce sodas, Napoleon Bloomberg? Why don't you ban Jeroboams of wine? After all, your argument, isn't your argument simple? Your argument is that if they get a 32-ounce soda, they're going to get obese from drinking it. Well, likewise, if someone buys a Jeroboam of wine, they're going to get drunk from drinking it. I think you should limit the size of wine bottles to the size that used to be on airplanes. Tiny little wine bottles. Because after all, you don't want people to drink too much Napoleon, do you? CNN has canceled John King's show. CNN has canceled John King's show. Frankly, I thought he had the best show on the air on CNN. I have no idea why they would cancel him. For me, I would have canceled Wolf Blitzer, the most obnoxious of all of them. Who would you cancel on CNN? But I'm really interested in the first topic. I'm coming out of reclusiveness. I have not made a live appearance since 2004, which is 8 years, which I cannot believe. Time has gone by so rapidly. 8 years is a very long time. You can go to medical school in 4 years. You can go to law school in 2 or 3 years. You can go through college and grad school in 8 years. 8 years slugging it out on radio. I have not done one live performance for many reasons. I'm the only American broadcaster banned from entering the United Kingdom. Think about that honor. I wear it with honor, given what England has become. So I'd like to ask you, if you're going to come to the Marin County Civic Center after Labor Day or South Florida in October, New York City, perhaps before or after the election, Houston, Texas, and other locations, what would you be coming for? What would you like to see Michael Savage do or say on the stage? Why don't you put on your imaginary stage designer cap for a moment and tell the audience what stage set you would envision me having on the stage? And of all the books I've written since 2004, Trickle Up Poverty, Trickle Down Tyranny, Abuse of Power, are there any statements or rather paragraphs that you'd like me to read quotes from? What bits would you like to see me perform on stage? And liberals only, would you come to see me live and why? Should Teddy be on the stage with me? Any other tips? Watch MichaelSavage.com for my speaking schedule. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Adam in Pittsburgh, PA, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
All righty, Dr. Savage, I figured I would give you a call, let you know the sentence that most embodies you. I think you are the embodiment of the American dream and American individualism.
Okay, I'll respond to that, because my publisher said to me, what would you write as the subtitle for Train Tracks, which is sort of my childhood stories, which is coming out this October or November for the Christmas holiday, the holiday season, right, where I tell childhood stories, you know, working in my father's store and this and that. I said, how about this for a one-liner? From immigrant's son to radio stardom. How's that one? Does that work for you?
Yeah, that works for me.
I mean, that's the American dream, in the sense, from immigrant's son to radio stardom. You know, I spent last night, for some reason, searching archival records for my grandfather's town in Russia. It doesn't exist anymore. It was wiped out by the Nazis and then by the Soviets. There's no record of where he came from. 1,000 years of living in that region, and there's no records of any of my family names. Think about that one. In essence, America is a place for all of us to be reborn, isn't it not?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, I'm going to send you a gift tonight, and the gift is a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, the best of the lot of the anti-Obama books. Again, if you'd like to comment on what you'd like to see live, if many of you who listen to this show have listened for 15 or more years and have been to many of my compassionate conservative events going back to when I was a local talk show host in San Francisco, and you know what kind of events I have put on, this one's going to be very different. There's going to be no warm-up acts, although I did think of a few. There's going to be no smoke, no mirrors, no bands, no Boy Scouts, no Eagle Scouts, no veterans. It's going to be Michael Savage live for 90 straight minutes. What would you like to see me do? I'll be right back.
Savage.
You know, I'll tell you something. I'm always amazed at my intuition in talk radio. I came on the air today, and I was thinking about it on the way in. You know, everyone knows about the election right now. And I personally think that 90% of the people have made up their mind of who they're going to vote for, honest to God. And for me to beat you up every day, Romney this, Romney up, Romney down, Obama up, Obama down, Obama bad, Obama good, ba-ba-ba-boo. How much can you take of it? I know I wouldn't listen to it after a while. So I want to do other things. So I said to you, because this election is so important, I want to come out of a semi-reclusive retirement, get out from behind the microphone. I haven't been in public since 2004. I did a little thing in the basement of a restaurant, you know, for some supporters. But I'm going to do major league events with one of the biggest concert promoters in the world. And they're great. I mean, they're a great group. They put it that way. So after Labor Day is the opening, Marin County Civic Center, then October, two events in South Florida, and then maybe New York City, Houston, Texas, and a couple of other locations. So you are a very creative audience. What would a one-liner be from you if you were my promoter describing Michael Savage to the general public to bring in people who don't know me? But if you do know me, What would you like to see me do on stage? You know what I have in my mind, for example, let's say when Frank Sinatra was going on the stage, what do you think the people wanted to hear? They wanted to hear the favorites that they came to know him for. They wanted to hear him sing My Way, right? Or Strangers in the Night. They'd say, sing Strangers in the Night. He may have sung it 50 million times and was bored of it, but that's what the people want to hear. So in that sense, I suspect many of you are going to want me to do my, I don't know, my regulars. And what would my stage set be? If you want to be creative right now, 1-800-449-8255. Let's begin in my backyard of Sacramento on KSTE Radio. Mark in Sacramento, go ahead, please.
Yes, your stage set. I envision New York, your early years in New York, your years in Fiji, and your years in San Francisco.
Well, what do you mean? You mean you want me to bring a palm tree to the stage? How do I bring Fiji to the stage? What do you mean bring it to the stage?
Oh, I'll bring Teddy to the stage.
Oh, but Teddy's easy. He's only 10 pounds. But it's very hard for me to bring a piece of Fiji and a piece of Manhattan to the stage.
I was thinking pictures or photographs or something.
You mean like a big blow-up of Fiji on a rolling stage set and talk about that? A roller of New York with the sky, the Lower East Side, the sweltering summers, and a roller of the bums in the streets of San Francisco harassing people.
There you go.
Okay, I'll work on getting some of the bums from San Francisco off the streets and give them a living. What would you like to see me do live on stage? If you were to come there, what would you be coming there for? What would you want to see that you don't hear on the radio? And liberals only. I don't know. I haven't had one liberal call. Liberals only. Where's the question I wrote? Would you come to see me live and why? What would you come to the theater for? What would you want to see? Andrea in Florida, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. My word to describe you would be prophetic.
Did you say pathetic?
No, prophetic, like a prophet.
I'm joking. Come on. I like to play with words. You know, to me, what's interesting about what I love about words is that you can change a few letters and change the whole meaning of a person's statement. Pathetic to some, prophetic to others. That's pretty good, isn't it?
That's very good.
But what part of me do you think is prophetic? What have I said that was prophetic?
Well, I think it's your knowledge of history that so many people in this country don't have. They've lost it through the educational system, and you see the total picture.
Well, okay, I hear you. Thanks for the call. I don't know that I want to go into the thing as Mr. Serious and do a college lecture thing. I think that a live performance has to be much different than a college lecture. And I think that's what's wrong with so many of the public appearances of media people. Obviously, they go on the road because it's a way to make an extra buck. And, you know, some do it to meet their audience, because if you're behind the camera or microphone, you don't see a live audience. And there's something to be said, as entertainers have said through the ages, for the smell of the grease paint and the roar of the crowd. The truth is, this is a very isolated, lonely profession. I compare my profession to that of a deep sea diver, because there's nobody around. I mean, you're alone in a radio studio. Think about that one. And you have to have the ability to project your thoughts to millions of people and have them listen to you every day. So if I go on a stage, hey, you know, that's another. I have an idea of what I'm going to do on the stage set. I don't know if I'm going to give it away yet. Let's go to the callers. Jason in New York, WOR. Go ahead, please.
Michael Savage brings a bazooka to a knife fight. That's
well,
your one-liner.
That's very funny. Well, I don't want to present myself as some macho, you know, killer kind of guy, because that's one element of me verbally. But Jason, isn't there something more to me that brings you to listen to me on WOR in New York?
YouTube, your greatest hits have taken down libs, and it's when I'm feeling down in the day, I'll go on there and I'll listen to Michael Savage bring a bazooka to a knife fight. It makes me feel good.
Oh, what do you mean in my archives? Where do you get that?
Just type it. Go on YouTube and type in Michael Savage. You got all your greatest arguments with moronic.
I had no idea that you've given me my show.
I'm telling you, it's fantastic.
Oh, you mean the people like me do that? They take the times I slam the libs to the mat.
Oh, you decimate them. And if I'm feeling down in the day, I'll listen. You make me laugh half the time.
So
you
you've given me an idea. I think what we're going to do is archive all of them onto a CD and play them over the loudspeaker out of the speaker system in the auditorium. That would be funny. It's a great idea. Jason, you'd be a good, let's say a good, I wouldn't say promoter, but maybe a good producer. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Thank you. Interesting. Miami, Florida. Jesse, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I like to see South Park to start with, but in a library setting at a radio station with your couch and Teddy.
You'd Teddy like to Teddy. See the stage set as a radio studio with a couch and Teddy? Is that what you said, Jesse?
A library setting in your studio with your couch and Teddy. Because
well, it is a lot. Most of my studios are libraries with a couch and Teddy sleeping under the desk. And don't you dare try to adjust the computer. He'll bite your fingers.
Everybody listens to you on the radio, and they picture you sitting in your library at your radio station with Teddy on the couch. And
that's interesting. And that's, you know, that's another question. That's a phenomenal question, which is when you listen to me with my gifted voice and my rapier wit, where do you think I am? What do you think I'm wearing? Who's around me? It's an interesting question because radio is a theater of the mind, as has been well known for, well, ever since the medium was really developed. Never mind who invented it. It was not Marconi, by the way. It was not Marconi who invented the radio. He got credit for it, but in the 1960 in Supreme Court did not give it to Marconi. They gave it to, you'll never believe it. Who can name the person who was given credit? Well, you see, there's no such thing as people know answers anymore. They look it up on Google and they call me, so no, there's no pointless. But Marconi used to have the reputation for having discovered radio. But it was based upon the inventions of, who knows the answer? 1-800-449-8255. Michigan Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I got the marquee one sentence for you, and I got a stage skit. But first of all, you got to know I listen to you every night like religion.
Thank you. I drive
across country to see your show. You have one liberal in your audience, and I wouldn't fly across country because I won't let the TSA thugs touch me. But I think I heard that the
TSA is offering Sandusky a job as a director of security screening. That once he gets away with his case, they're going to hire him as an advisor or consultant for airport screening.
Savage.
All right, welcome back. So look, here's the thing. I want to talk about the event and your ideas. I'm very excited by it. I mean, coming out of a kind of semi-reclusive world that I've lived in, I'm going to meet my audience for the first time in 8 years. Teddy has gone from puppy to a senior citizen. I can't believe time flies. I mean, we really do mark time in the mirror, our own face, the portrait of Dorian Gray, if you will. And then, of course, our pets. Our pets age before we do for good reason. As a very wise woman said to me, and as people were crying because their dog was dead, a dog they love so much, she said, it's the way God set it up, because if we died before them, they'd be abandoned. So, you know, you got to look at the way things work in the world. But I was searching around for the website today where I want you to start going so you know where I'm going to perform, where I'm going to be live, what I'm doing, michaelsavage.com. Try to get in the habit. And I stumbled upon Portraits of the President as a Young Man because there's a big controversy of the Congressional Black Caucus saying that anyone who calls him cool is racist. I never thought cool was a racist term, but I have no idea the way other people think. To me, I thought it was a compliment. But if you look at Obama's pictures, he was very cool. Because, for example, in picture number 23, which we linked on michaelsavage.com, he is seen with his friend Siddiqui and his roommate while he attended Columbia in the early 80s. And he is identified as Mr. Siddiqui in Obama's memoir. Obama describes his best friend as short, well-built, and a Pakistani who smoked marijuana and snorted cocaine. Siddiqui was from Karachi, Pakistan, and came to America from London on a tourist visa. Siddiqui, Obama's best friend and roommate, overstayed his visa, becoming an illegal alien. Obama first met Siddiqui when he attended Occidental College in L.A. Obama was living with a group of Pakistani students, interesting, when Siddiqui arrived for a visit. Obama transferred to Columbia and lived off campus with Siddiqui. Siddiqui was not a student and made his living working in restaurants. Together they lived in a drug-ridden slum apartment on 339 East 94th Street. Siddiqui, blah, blah, blah. The apartment was furnished by what they could find in the streets. Obama and Siddiqui would go out together and enjoy the nightlife of New York City. Siddiqui claims Obama stopped using drugs when he arrived at Columbia. Obama eventually moved out when Siddiqui's partying began to interfere with his studies. Well, okay, his handler said it's getting too hot. Time to get away from the illegal alien from Pakistan. That's amazing. I mean, you talk about Romney, and is the worst crime he committed is that he's a Mormon? That's a crime? But having lived with an illegal alien from Pakistan who snorted cocaine, that should be swept under the rug? Hello? That's the world you live in. So, getting back to the world according to Michael Savage, you know the questions. I'm not going to repeat them every time we come back on the air. Let's go to Marilyn in New York. Marilyn, you have a concept for the stage set. What should it be?
I think that you should be sitting on a big red upholstered chair in the middle of the stage because you're so eloquent, like Pavarotti was, that I think the audience would love to just hear you speak on anything that you would like to say.
You mean just kind of sit there like Orson Welles in an armchair with a lavalier microphone and talk?
Yes, why not?
Well, I'll tell you right now. I've watched enough live performances as they appear on HBO to watch what people are doing. It actually gets me depressed. Older guys wearing undershirts trying to be cool. Forget about it. I'm not going to come out like that.
No, cursing, no, no. I don't.
And no. Every other word is an F word or a B word or a D word in order to titillate the audience. Never going to happen. I generally never use a dirty word. There's no point to it. I don't need it. I'm not Madonna. You know what I'm saying? But Marilyn, if I'm on stage in New York City, let's say I appear in a theater in Manhattan in October or somewhere around then, would you come and what would you come there to see me do?
To speak. And your knowledge is just breathtaking.
That's amazing. Your husband what?
My husband and I listen to you every night, and you could be his brother.
That's beautiful. Well, I wish that you were my relative. I'd be getting some feedback at least.
Absolutely.
But the problem is my relatives, God bless them all, are red diaper doper babies, all of them. Something happened in the transition from the old country. They never left the old country behind. They're still stuck in the red diaper doper baby mentality. Democrats good, Republicans bad. You know, that's how they think. And you can't change people. They're stuck. They're stuck, Marilyn. Well, I hope to see you. I hope to see you if we make it to Manhattan. It's all up to the God right now. 1-800-449-8255. This is a good caller coming up with a stage set. You know, I'm not a creative guy with stage sets. I don't have the visualization necessary. I really love stage designers' minds. Like, give you an example. Like, you take a show like Magic City, which I've talked about. Most of you have never seen it on Stars. So you go behind the scenes. I can't believe that this was not really a hotel lobby that they're filming. They show them building the stage set for the lobby for this show. I can't believe the amount of money they spend on stage sets for television shows. In that, think about what I'm saying to you. I'm a performer. After all, I'm in the entertainment business. And what do I have? Do I have a stage set? No. Do I have lighting? No. Do I have directing? No. What do I have? All I have is my mind. And my voice, nothing else. And think about that. Think about this medium. It's probably the most difficult medium in the world for a performer to perform in on a regular basis. I mean, anyone could get up and belch on a microphone or get up at a college and talk about a sports game. I'm not knocking it. But the fact of the matter is, it's a theater of the mind. And the voice has to be used to get your mind to listen to the electrons coming through the speakers into your brain, stimulating your mind. So that's why I'm asking you, the audience. It's a great opportunity for you and for me to talk about the fact that I'm coming out of semi-retirement in the sense of never appearing in public. And I'm going to tell you why I haven't appeared in public in a minute. But I don't know if I really want to get into that. I think you can pretty much put two and two together. I stopped appearing in public after I was smeared by CAIR. I stopped appearing in public after I was attacked by the United Kingdom. I stopped appearing in public for other reasons that I will describe one day in great detail that you'll never believe. If you want to find out about what people do to people and how bad and evil people are, you'll hear it all in a live performance. I can guarantee you'll hear all about what really goes on, what's really going on in my life. So what would the stage set be like? Let's go to New York City. Jay, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation. What would your stage set be?
Hey, Mike, I'm not a creative guy, but I could definitely see you doing kind of like a fireside chat theme on a nice...
Yeah, but that's like FDR, fedora and a cigarette holder. That's not me.
And a Lebanese cigar from your friend. I think you do well. I'd like to listen to you speak about the Hebrew Bible.
What if I appeared on the stage, the curtain goes up, and I'm sitting there drinking a 32-ounce Slurpee with Napoleon Bloomberg?
Then I'd enjoy it just as much if you were on the stage with Barack Obama himself. I would love
Well, you know what? Maybe we'll get a poster of Bloomberg, Obama, Hillary Clinton. You know, we can get life-size. You know, you don't have to have them on the stage to talk to them, by the way. I tell you that right now. You know, I can tell you that right now. Sacramento. Sean, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. I think your stage set should be an oversized version of your mother's kitchen.
Unbelievable.
Every time you talk about yourself, it comes back to your mother's kitchen to me.
You know what? You're right. Food, food, food. It's all about food at the end of the day. Food motivates me to a great day. Avoiding food, eating food, complaining about food, obsessing about food. No, it's an interesting thing. But, you know, food is more than calories, and food is much more than energy. Food is a way that people share cultural values with each other. Food is a way families relate to each other. Isn't it? I mean, food is the essence of civilization, Sean. We underestimate the power of food.
It is. And it always comes back to your mother overfeeding everyone and then passing out on the couch.
That's a great picture. I wish I could find the picture of all the men, you know, passed out after a Thanksgiving meal. They're all in the next world enjoying their calories. So, Sean, you live where? In Sacramento or San Francisco?
I live in West Sacramento.
And you hear my show on KSTE, no doubt, right?
Oh, yeah. I work in Livermore. I get it from Livermore all the way to Sacramento.
Oh, my God. So you pick it up out of the East Bay all the way home. So, for example, here's an ordinary listener. Would you come to Marin County to see me live?
Michael, I would have to come to Marin County to see you live just to know that we are in the center of liberalism.
Yes, it's Barbara Boxer's backyard. I doubt very much that she'll be appearing on the stage with me. Okay, what would you like to... Okay, here's a question. If you were writing a one-liner about Michael Savage, because liberals say to me, you know, when I first started to hear you, I hated you. I thought I just didn't like you. You're like Attila the Hun. And the more I listened to you, Michael, the more I said, wait a minute, hold it. I actually agree with what he just said. Then they listen again. They say, wait a minute, I just agreed with what he said about that. And then the next day, you know what? I agreed with him about that. And before long, they're saying, wait a minute, if he's a conservative and I'm a liberal and I agree with almost everything he says, then maybe I'm not a liberal. Well, welcome to the club. Maybe you're not a liberal. Maybe you don't even know what liberalism has become. Maybe we're all liberals when it comes to, let us say, personal freedoms. But maybe we're not all liberals when it comes to the government dictating to us what we should think, what we should eat, what we should not eat, what we should breathe, what they want to tax. How can you be a liberal? What, do you want to tax the air you breathe? That, to me, is what liberals do. It's as simple as that. They want to control you from cradle to grave. And there's no better example right now on a minor scale than Bloomberg in New York, who wants to ban 32-ounce sodas, saying it's bad for you. Now he wants to ban what? What does Napoleon Bloomberg want to ban now? Popcorn in movie theaters. Because it's not good for you. The lunatics say that popcorn isn't a whole lot better than soda. And that's because a large tub of movie theater popcorn has up to 1,650 calories. Then they want to ban milkshakes. And they want to ban calories in foods like that. Well, I just had a bad, greasy Chinese meal for lunch before the show. It was a meat pie. Disgusting. I love it. In fact, I'm surprised I'm still living. Because when I started in radio, I'd been on a very lean diet. 1994, I was... still really following a very lean diet. Now, when I started in radio, I needed a lot of energy in the furnace. I mean, I really said, you're like an opera singer. So there's a cheap Chinese restaurant near the radio station that I used to be on. And they'd come out with food. Oh, God, I can't eat that. Well, it's 18 years later, I'm still eating it. They give you a free meat pie in two greasy shells, like taco shells, before the meal. And then the meal itself, I don't know, the calories, maybe 2,500 calories. So if Bloomberg lived here, what would he do, ban Chinese food? Why are you banning soda and popcorn and milkshakes? Why don't you ban pizza next? If by the same token, ban Chinese food, it's full of oil. Don't you understand how psychotic these people are? This socialist conceptualization is insane. And so the fact of the matter is, anything eaten in excess or drunk in excess is not healthy. We know that. But it's not to do with politicians. If you study what the founding fathers said about our nation, you would find out that by definition, Bloomberg is a tyrant. Obama is a tyrant. Liberals are the tyrants that the founding fathers warned us against. It says that they are not to interfere with our lives to support or not support any of our personal desires, basically. Read what the founding fathers said. None of us want Big Brother, even if you're once a liberal. And many of you who listen to me say, this guy resonates with me and I don't understand it because I'm a liberal. No, you're not a liberal anymore. The liberal movement was hijacked by radical socialists a long time ago. And so if you want to go along as a fellow traveler with these demonic individuals who want to control you, you have another guest coming because you're just a stooge for them. You're not a liberal. You're not a liberal if you want to ban what people eat, because one man's meat is another man's poison, as they say. So what, he doesn't like popcorn because it's bad for you, the little elitist? As I said, use common sense. By the same token, why don't you ban Chinese food? Why don't you ban pizza? Why don't you ban pasta? Ban pasta, Bloomberg. After all, pasta's a high-calorie dish. Why don't you ban pasta carbonara because you don't like it? Because you probably only eat an Upper East Side pasta with the olio. You know what I mean? Late at night, you're just pasta with garlic and oil because you're so sophisticated. What if the guy next to you likes spaghetti carbonara? Maybe he should be put in prison. Maybe the Italian who makes carbonara should be hunted down by the ATF for putting too much cholesterol in someone's arteries. This is insanity. And you know who wrote about this first? Me. I defined the term of what Bloomberg is doing, and I called it what it was in 1983 in a book that I published, Macmillan published, called The Skeptical Nutritionist. I was always 30 years ahead of my time. And you'll find out, looking back 20 years from now, just how right I was been. When you wake up one day, you're going to be living in a prison. I don't mean an actual jail. If you don't stop these left-wing fanatics now, stop them at Munich, you're going to be living in a prison in 20 years, I can guarantee you. I called it food fascism in 1983 in a book called The Skeptical Nutritionist. I'm 30 years ahead of my time. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Maybe I should do a one-liner, the stage show, the live performance, called Why I Am Not a Liberal. And there's no better example than what Bloomberg is trying to achieve in New York City. The guy is like a Napoleon. He's saying, oh, well, you can't eat that big soda. Drink soda. That big soda is good for you. As I've pointed out, people buy the big sodas at sporting events because they are less expensive than two small sodas. So you might think that his talking about banning large tubs of popcorn is because he wants you to buy more expensive, smaller tubs of popcorn, and that he's just being lobbied by the very industry he's claiming to control. Is that possible? Isn't it possible? Isn't a tub of popcorn usually shared by two or more people? So what will he ban next? Extra large pizzas? Buckets of fried chicken? As I say, Bloomberg should ban Jeroboam's of wine, which he serves at his dinner parties, because everyone knows that Jeroboam's of wine can get an individual drunk. Now, we all know that exercise is good for you. Maybe Premier Fuhrer Bloomberg will require everyone in New York City to buy a publicly mandated gym membership. And then he could put city guards, maybe the Black Panthers can be hired, to monitor gyms and make sure people use the gyms. And you get a stamp on your gym card from Bloomberg's thugs when you go to the publicly mandated gyms owned by the city. And above each gym, he can write, exercise will set you free, in German, if he would like, or in several different languages. and that every time you go in the gym, you get a little stamp, and it allows you to buy one tub of popcorn when you go to Texas. They should also ban bread, large loaves of bread, after all, because bread actually converts to sugar once it enters your body, and we can't have that. I believe that Italian breads, for example, and French bread should be banned in New York City. I think only Swedish crackers should be sold in Manhattan in order to make certain that people don't eat too much gluten. That's the latest fad, the latest hula hoop. Gluten, everything's gluten-free. You ask the average moron who goes to Columbia, the average girl at Columbia, what she eats. Oh, I'm on a gluten-free diet. And say, darling, what's gluten? They haven't the slightest idea, but they know gluten's bad for you. Suddenly, gluten-free is the hot thing. What's interesting to me, as a man who's an expert in the use of words, is that the spelling of gluten, G-L-U-T-E-N, is very close to the spelling of the word glutton. I'd rather see a glutton-free diet than a gluten-free diet, wouldn't you? Symbol shot. You heard it first in the Savage Nation. Most people who are amazingly deficient in so many other areas of their life make up for it by eating gluten-free, sugar-free, dairy-free diets. And they make you hear about their dietary preferences. When have you last invited somebody to your house for dinner and they refuse to eat what you serve them? And they try to act like, oh, no, that's fine. You can eat that. I'm on a meatless diet. Okay, so here's some vegetables. Oh, no, I'm on a gluten-free diet. Okay, well, how about a glass? No, that's okay. I'll just have a water. And then you offer them water and they pull out a bottle that they brought with them. How about that for a friend in your house? You know what that's called, don't you? There's a couple of words for those kind of people, and it has nothing to do with diet. What they're doing is they're using food as a weapon against you to beat you up and put you down. And frankly, I'm fed up with the glutton-free diets out there. Gluten-free. Ask the average moron what gluten is and why it's bad for you. They haven't the slightest idea. But they know, I'm on a gluten-free diet. That's the latest. Every restaurant, gluten-free this. I had gluten-free spaghetti in L.A. It was unbelievable. It provoked dizziness in me. The object of eating pasta is the gluten, so you get tired and go to sleep at night. Idiot.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So back in 1981, 82, 83, I don't remember which, I wrote a book called The Skeptical Nutritionist because at the time I was a campaigner for, sanity and diet. I was way ahead of the curve, 30 years ahead of people in the country in the field of nutrition, herbal medicine, homeopathic medicine, etc. And Macmillan published the book, and the opening chapter of this book was about food fascism. And that's what Bloomberg is doing. It makes no sense to ban the large sodas and now the large popcorn. Of course we know that you're not supposed to eat a lot of sugar, but that's an individual choice. It's not the government's job to mandate what you eat and what you don't eat. He can mandate it in school cafeterias and in city-owned hospitals. That he has authority to do, but not in the private sector. It's out, but this is an example. This, to me, is exactly what liberalism is in this country, on little Napoleons like him, basically spitting on people, telling them what they can eat, what they can't eat. Popcorn is one of the healthiest foods on earth. No one's telling you to put the fake butter on it. And the reason people buy large tubs of popcorn, Bloomy, is because they're cheaper than two small boxes of popcorn. They share the popcorn, Bloomberg. That's something that the average person does to economize in a movie theater. Same with soda. First they came for the soda, and I said nothing because I was a coffee drinker. Then they came for the popcorn, and I stayed silent because I watched DVDs at home. Then they came for the milk, and I said nothing because I was lactose intolerant. Then they came for me, and there was nothing left to snack on. Thank you, Beowulf Rockland, for helping me with my metaphor. Yes, first they came for the soda. So this is an example of why I am not a liberal, by the way. Exactly, it could all be told in what Bloomberg is doing. Exactly in what Bloomberg is trying to do in legislating. Seven deadly sins, as you know, lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. I would add an eighth deadly sin, which is gluttony. Not gluttony, but gluttony. Gluten-free is another deadly sin. Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, pride, and gluttony. Not gluttony. Gluten-free, you can make a deadly sin when you beat people up with it. I'm eating a gluten-free diet. Ask him what gluten is and why you don't like it. Why did nature put gluten in wheat? Let's start with that. Let's start with a simple concept. Gluten is a fraction of wheat. Why is it in the wheat? Well, I don't know. Well, nature's stupid, and I'm smarter than nature, and I want gluten out of my food. Because Dr. Schmuck told me that that's the reason I have this disease, that disease, why I'm depressed, why I'm ugly, why I'm foolish, why I use hair coloring, why my nails are too long, why I'm bow-legged, why I have pimples, why I don't have pimples, why I can't get a date, why I'm home alone at night. It's all because of gluten. If I eat a gluten-free diet and look at my iPhone, I'll be the happiest girl on Third Avenue. Stupid. Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, pride leads me to the topic of the day. If you just joined the show, what I'm talking about, in addition to food fascism, in addition to why I'm not a liberal, is that I'm breaking out of my, I don't know the word to use, really. I haven't been in public since 2004 when I had a 7,000-person event at the Concord Pavilion. I came out on the stage with my Cadillac, 7,000 people. It was big. It was a big event. And it was paid, by the way. It was a paid event. They didn't show up because it was free. And I came out in the caddy. It was a great performance. Teddy was with me. He was a little baby, all black. He was a puppy. He's now a senior citizen poodle, 10 pounds, and he's great. So I want to do another sequence, you know, public lectures, public speaking. I have the biggest agency in the world, the best in the world, and we're working it out. And I already picked a couple of places. After Labor Day, Marin County Civic Center, my old hometown. October, two events in South Florida. And it won't be at Century Village. Then maybe New York City on Times Square somewhere, then Houston, Texas, and God knows where else. So I'm asking you, what would you like me to do on stage? I mean, what would you come there for? You can hear me on the radio. You know, everybody who's a public figure does lectures. I don't. I'm one of the only ones who doesn't. Remember I've told you I'm the only one who doesn't tour? I don't do them. I decided that the election is so important, I need to see my public. And I'm getting too isolated from the public. I need to actually see you. I need you as much as you need to see me. But what do you want to see is the question. What would you come there to see? What would the stage set be if you were the set designer? What pieces from my books would you like me to read? What quotes? Should Teddy be on stage with me? Be a stage designer. 1-800-449-8255. Describe me in one sentence or less. From immigrant son to radio stardom in one generation. That doesn't really describe me, does it? Nothing describes a man. How do you describe a man in one sentence? A man is complex. He's many things. He's everything. He's nothing. He's up. He's down. He's depressed. He's happy. He's brilliant. He's stupid. He's inspiring. He's boring. I mean, a man is many things. So how do you define a man with one sentence? Well, what I just did for you is what you want me to do on the stage. That's what you want to hear is the whole shot, the whole gestalt, the entire sequence from A to Z and back again. Houston, Texas, Jason, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I got to say I was very excited when I heard you mention Houston as a potential stop, and I think I got a tagline for you. What if you went with "Abandon Britain yet embrace the world over"?
I love it. I don't know if it's true. Abandon Britain but not in Houston might be better. No, I have to do something in Texas. I must. I mean, I would love to be in Texas. The people are so wonderful. It may as well be a separate country. Can you imagine a Texas governor trying to ban popcorn or ban soda in Texas? Could you imagine the outcry in your state of sane people?
It would never happen. I mean, that tagline could also almost apply to New York in that point. You know, popcorn and soda banned in New York and embrace the world over. I mean, it just...
Oh, popcorn banned in New York and embraced in Houston.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think that Napoleon Bloomberg ought to apply for the job as mayor of London. He might be more happy serving those folks since they like this kind of dictatorship. San Antonio, Texas. Gary, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. One line would be Einstein of the airways, a man ahead of his time.
That's funny. Look what happened to Einstein. He wound up on college posters with his tongue out.
Yeah, but everybody loves him.
That's very nice of you, Gary. Thank you very much. By the way, that's an interesting side story. You know how that popular poster of Einstein at college campuses with the tongue out? That wasn't Einstein. Somebody photoshopped that and made that the image of this brilliant man in order to debase the man as if to show he was some wild-haired communist hippie. What you also don't know about Einstein that I need to tell you is very important. A lot of the communists have pictures of Einstein along with Che Guevara and Karl Marx on their wall. They don't know that Einstein believed in God. In his last days, he said, the more he has plumbed the universe, the more he has thought about the perimeters of the universe, the more he has studied the universe, the more he comes to believe that there is a divine creator, meaning God. Do you understand that you're not taught any of this? There's another very important story related, not related to Einstein, but one of my favorite writers, one of the most influential in my life, was Jack Kerouac. Beatnik, hippie, on the road, Dharma bum, subterraneans, great writer, right? Great influence on my life at a very important stage of my life. What they don't teach when they teach Kerouac in the communist think tanks called universities, the communist re-education camps called colleges, is that Kerouac died hating Allen Ginsberg, died hating liberals, was a diehard Nixon supporter, and believed that the country had been overrun by communists and wanted to destroy it. They don't teach that part of Jack Kerouac. Hang in there. I'll be back in a second. Hey, hold on a second before I go to break. You know, there are three kinds of people. The kind who make things happen, the kind who watch things happen, and the kind who wonder what happened. Don't be the kind who wonders what happened. In tough economic times, tough people are the kind that make things happen. Like Jenny, and this is her income at home story. She writes, I spent my life working in the corporate world with far too little time with my kids. And out of the blue, I got laid off. I was looking for a job when I learned about incomeathome.com. So I ordered my decision pack. I got a call from my coach, and I got started. In my first full month, I made $1,300. And I'm on my way to making more than I've ever made. And I do it around my family's needs, she writes. Now, you have to know that some earn less, but many earn more. Some earn a lot more. Find out for yourself. Go to incomeathome.com to see the results you can expect. No matter your age or education, you can literally earn money from your kitchen table. Make it happen for you and your family at incomeathome.com. That's incomeathome.com. Incomeathome.com. Incomeathome.com.
Savage.
So while you're playing stage designer, stage producer, and calling Michael Savage at 1-800-449-8255 and making a note to keep looking for my schedule on michaelsavage.com, here's a news story. The man, the billionaire, conservative casino mogul Sheldon Adelson, who helped keep Newt Gingrich's failed campaign alive by giving him $10 million, is giving $10 million to the super PAC supporting Mitt Romney, which is very interesting, by the way. As you know, Adelson is chairman and chief executive of Las Vegas Sands Corp, which includes the famous Venetian Casino as well as casinos in Macau and Singapore. He's ranked among the 10 wealthiest Americans with a net worth of more than $20 billion. And it's very interesting that finally he's awakened to the fact that Romney is, you know, important. But I'm reading the article in detail, and on a trip to Las Vegas last month, it says Romney and Adelson had a private meeting. Afterwards, Adelson attended Romney's dessert fundraiser for those who contributed $50,000 or more. So I had dinner with Romney before he announced. How much would a dinner cost me today? We had a dinner together in San Francisco before he ran. Now he won't even come on the show. I wonder what a dinner would cost me today. It's interesting. 50 grand for a dessert with other people? So let's see. We had dessert. We had pasta. We had a salad. We had an appetizer. And, of course, he didn't drink. That's like four courses. That's at least 200 grand. And no one else was there throwing another 200 grand for private. It cost me $500,000 to have a spaghetti dinner with Romney today. Amazing. Astounding what politics costs today. Anyway, let's go back to the callers on the Savage Nation. And I haven't had one liberal call. That's amazing. Liberals only, I ask you. Will you come to see me live and why? Not one of them will come to see me live. And they won't say why. So I'll go to the callers. That's all. That's all I'm going to do. And by the way, is there anyone out there who went to my live performance in 2004 at the Concord Pavilion, now known as the Chronicle Pavilion? There must be somebody left in the San Francisco area who listens to me. I mean, I created the Compassionate Conservative Conventions. We are sold out every time. Now I'm banned in the UK and banned in San Francisco because of Nancy Pelosi's politics. She has manipulated into banning me and putting unknown people on stations. It's unbelievable to me. But thankfully, I'm on a station in Sacramento that is so powerful, they hear me in all of my old markets. Concord, Pleasanton, South Bay, North Bay, East Bay, your Bay, everywhere but San Francisco Bay. So I'm asking you, if you're in the San Francisco area, you know, were you at the last event or one of the Compassionate Conservative events? And what would you expect? New York, WOR, Steve, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, I have an idea for the live show that you want to do.
What is it?
You could come out with a band behind you and perform one of those heavy metal songs that you open the show with.
What do you mean, where I sing?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like...
I'd pay to see that.
Well, I don't know if I can do that. What do you mean? I create one on this? I mean, I write a heavy metal song?
I'll pick one of the songs that you open up the show with and just do it live with a band behind you.
Yeah, but wait a minute. What song have I ever done on this show that was with a heavy metal back?
No,
I've done mock rap songs. I've done mock rap songs. Where, you know, like I've done the one I made up, I speak 50 words of English. That one, you've heard that one, haven't you?
Sure.
Yeah, that's a good one, but I don't remember ever doing one with a heavy metal band behind me. I speak 50 words of English. That's one of my favorite rap songs. I've done that one, but I guess that would be considered racist today if I did it. I guess anything that, you know, depends upon whose ox is gored. It's like, you know, whose food they want to ban. It's like, okay, I don't like what you said. It's racist. I don't like what you eat. It's fattening. I don't like what you think. It's insulting. I don't like how you walk. It's aggressive. There's Napoleon Bloomberg for you. Maybe you could start banning people wearing certain kind of footwear. Reno, Nevada. Jason, you're on the Savage Nation.
I have some good ideas for your show, but I'd like to share with your audience, if I may, why I think you're prophetic.
Pathetic or prophetic?
Oh, prophetic, not
I'm
pathetic.
Joking. Okay.
I remember May 2001, and you were on the radio screaming at the top of your lungs that we are going to get invaded through our borders because of our lack of border protection. And sure enough, in September, what happened? Not many months later, and you were screaming at the top of your lungs.
Why don't you tell that to Eric Holder, who's making certain that as many illegal aliens as can come across the border for the election?
I just did, if he's listening.
It's unbelievable to me that we have a federal government that is suing states such as Florida that is simply trying to uphold the Constitution and the validity of the voting box. How could we have a government that is so criminal in its intent that it would sue a state that's trying to do what it's actually mandated to do? How could they not impeach Eric Holder for that alone? For encouraging voter fraud, Eric Holder should be impeached, and his director of the so-called Civil Rights Division should be arrested, in my opinion. Thanks for the call. But that's one man's opinion. One man's opinion, that's all it is. One man out of 300 and some odd million people see it that way. I'm sure others see it that way. Unfortunately, the Republicans are not too vocal about that. 1-800-449-8255, Savage Nation, Mark, New York. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I think a great idea for your stage set would be a cooking show, and you could really do a lot with that.
Yeah, but that's impossible to do on it. That's impossible to do on a stage. I could do it on it. If I did a TV show, a cooking show, that would be a funny thing to do on a TV set. and I've talked about it, but if I give it out in detail, Glenn Beck would steal it. Since he has no original ideas, he has to listen to shows like mine in order to know what to say or do the next day. But thanks for the suggestion to Glenn. He does as well as he can for his limitations. And I'm all for people with limitations getting ahead in the world. Portland, Oregon, Varvara, welcome to the Savage Nation, Varvara.
Good afternoon. I have a great idea for your stage set, I think.
Quiet, fire away, 40 seconds.
I have an idea. Well, maybe you could have holograms of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and just have fun with that. I think that would be great.
How do you get a hologram on a stage?
I'm not sure.
That's very funny. Yeah, but a hologram of Barack Obama on the stage would be very funny. I suspect that it would be illegal somehow. It'd be more illegal than popcorn in New York City to have a hologram of the president.
It might be.
Thanks for the tip. If you've got some tips that you want to share with me about my upcoming speaking tour, I'm here.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Let's see what else is in the news. San Francisco tries to curb panhandling with puppies and stipends. So if you think Napoleon is alive and well in New York City, you've seen nothing yet. Starting August 1st, San Francisco, in a program believed to be the first idiotic of its kind in the country, will attempt to lure bums to give up their cardboard signs and metal cups in exchange for a small stipend to foster problematic puppies at the city's animal care and control, making them ready for adoption. Are they insane? You know that liberalism is a mental disorder. They're going to take drug-addicted homeless people and they think that they're going to treat animals properly. Are they insane? This is an example of the stupidity and insanity of these people. The applicants must also show that they're not severely mentally ill. Oh, really? And who's going to judge that? The city of San Francisco bureaucrats are going to judge who and who is not mentally ill when they're all mentally ill. They must also pledge to forswear panhandling. And if they're caught begging with the puppy, the animal will be taken back to the shelter. Now, moron, how much will this cost the city? Moron, what are you going to hire people now to give out puppies to homeless? This is insanity. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Never saw anything like it. California Insurance Department workers getting iPads. Is Obama bullying the Supreme Court? Duh. Humans have played a dominant role in the warming of the oceans over the past 50 years, says new study. Yeah, but every million years there's a change in temperature. And we did it. But every million years there's a cycle of heat and cold. Yeah, right. We did it. Idiots. I mean, it's incredible to me. What I love is that television idiots who have dropped out of high school. They have TV talk shows. They say, most of the world, all of the world's scientists agree that global warming is caused by man. So if you say to them, like children, like idiot children, I mean, I taught every grade level of science. You have to talk to them like the idiots they are. Take an idiot like Joyce Behar, a fat, disgusting, big-mouth yenta from Brooklyn who wanted to see Romney's house burned down. Take a moron putz like her. And if you say to her, idiot, Joyce, tell me what science is, she couldn't answer that question. Any more than they could never answer what gluten is. Okay, what is science? I don't know, but all the scientists of the world agree that global warming is caused by man. Okay, define science. How does it work? They have no idea that it's an experimental method that is involved. So science is about theory. They don't understand that. That you have to accumulate evidence, then you evaluate the evidence, pros and cons. And then you have to say, okay, so 1,000 scientists say that man is causing global warming. And how about the fact that 1,200 scientists say that mankind is not responsible for the increase in surface temperatures on the Earth? You eliminate those because it doesn't fit your theory. That's the equivalent of Soviet science when you're trying to prove something for a political reason. So we're now living in a time where the most embarrassing era in science was the Lysenko affair. Now we have the equivalent in the American scientific community tied into the government model of global warming strictly to push the corruption of the solar industry and other so-called green industries, so wholly owned by the Obama administration. That's what it's all about. And, of course, the UN, and you know how reliable they are. The same UN, that's a very, very reliable organization. All the science is in on global warming, and only crackpots don't believe in it. You know, believe in it is the correct word. No, we don't believe in it because the facts don't support that theory, idiot. So let's go back now to Michael Savage Live. Which bits do you want to see on stage? Should Teddy be on stage with me? Of course, I would have it no other way. Watch MichaelSavage.com for my speaking schedule. You can mark a few down now. Marin County Civic Center after Labor Day, October 2 events in South Florida, and then on to New York and Houston sometime down the road. Other cities, see how it goes. So I have to make sure the first one works well. That's why I'm asking you about it. Texas, Aaron, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I think it would be a good idea to get liberals out to your event. If you had kind of like what you have on your show, where we kind of celebrate the First Amendment, and have, you know, like a call-in session where the calls kind of come through the loudspeaker, and then you answer the questions.
Here's the problem when you do a live event and you open yourself up to callers that you don't screen. It's like putting microphones on stands in the auditorium. You get people who go up to those. To those microphones, and they filibuster the event, and they won't shut up. You have to literally get guards to remove them.
That's
the problem. So you can't have open mic to an audience. You get the pie throwers, you get the lunatics. They want to grab the mic, and they won't. You can't have that. We are going to have a question and answer session at the back, but the people will fill out cards, and then the questions will be screened by someone, and I'll get the top 10 questions. You can't have 1,000 questions, and you have to have questions you can really answer. Otherwise, it's just a soapbox for the people who want to attend. Sacramento Chance, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure. Look, you got to give a segment to you being the lifestyle coach. And the setups on the stage would be you'd have a couch, you in a chair, and although you could have the questions actually from people in the audience already written down so that you could answer them, because I heard the last callers, and that's a very good point. You don't want someone ruining a fine performance that I'm sure you'll give.
Oh, but you have to have somebody lying on the couch, though, asking the question.
Teddy!
Teddy could be wait a minute, I've got an idea. We're going to have the couch. I'll be Freud. We're going to have... Every man needs pretty girls on the stage. We're going to have a beautiful woman lying on the couch asking the lifestyle question.
And I was going to throw...
Like, Dr. Savage, my husband doesn't love me anymore. What should I do? How would that be for a question for a live audience? Remember, Groucho Marx, because he was like a homely guy, always surrounded himself by the most beautiful starlets. Remember that. It's an old trick of Hollywood. You have to have something attractive on the stage. I mean, I'm not going up there because I'm Adonis. I'm going up there because of my mind and my voice. So I have to counter it with something pretty, so I'm going to bring Teddy, but that's not enough, is it?
No, but you've got to have a portion where the interaction between you and your audience shows your spontaneity. The way you can stand and deliver on just anything, that just showcases and exemplifies who you are.
That's true. See, now that's the most difficult thing to do, which is to get to the point where you're so comfortable, where you can start doing a live performance on the spot and do it intuitively. Don't have anything pre-planned and let your mind flow freely. Everybody wishes they could do that. It's the greatest you have the greatest possibilities with that, and the greatest risk of failure with that as well. You understand that?
Yes, sir. But I have total confidence in you.
No, I've never failed in doing it though. When I really get going, I can handle that. But the thing is, lifestyle is an interesting segment. I didn't even think of doing lifestyle questions. For those of you who just joined the Savage Nation, lifestyle questions are intriguing, and I don't know if that should be part of a live performance. I really want to focus it on the election coming up. I think it's very important that we talk about readings from trickle-down tyranny. I'm not going to sit there and read a book, but I'm going to tell you about the evidence as to why I'm not voting for Obama. I think you must know pretty much why I would never vote for the man. But the fact is, just read trickle-down tyranny, the best of the anti-Obama books that's come out this year, and you'll find out why you should never vote for him. And why Romney refuses to acknowledge the evidence is beyond me. Again, I'm not bashing Romney. I'm just telling you it's sad that he's playing such a neutral position. Maybe it's working for him. I don't really know. I have no idea. So I'm coming out of retirement in that sense, publicly. False speaking tour, at least now. God, it's all up to God. It's in God's hands, really, when you think about it. Do I know if I'm going to be breathing tomorrow morning? Do you know if you're going to be breathing tomorrow morning? Every morning I get up, I thank God I'm awake. Right? I mean, think about that. It's all a miracle. It's all a dream. It's a dream. It's all a dream. And we're all living a great life. I don't care how poor you are. You're living in a dreamland. We're living on the fumes of the greatness of America. We're living on the fumes of greater men than all of us who created this incredible thing called America. And that's in spite of despite the fact that we have an anti-American regime running the ship of state. The framers of the Constitution and the infrastructure is so strong that thus far we have survived 3 years of this gang. Think about it. A gang has hijacked the ship. Let's put the metaphor this way. The ship of state, the United States of America, it's been hijacked by a gang. They've taken over the captain's quarters, the officers of the crew. They've hijacked the ship, and they're telling you that they're legitimate crew, and they want to take you to the destination that you were expected to go to. But as the cruise has gone on, you found out that they're not taking you there. What they're doing is they want to tax you. They want to take away more of your money on the ship. And they want to aggrandize themselves and their friends on the upper decks while telling you that they're for the man working down in the engine room. And you're starting to get the picture now that they're an illegitimate government. Then they pull into a port and they tell you that they want you to share your cabin with people who didn't pay. Yes, you have bought a cabin on the ship of state. But the Obama administration says we're going to load another 1,000 people on the ship, and you're going to now have to share your cabin with them because that's only fair. But you say, wait a minute, they didn't pay and I did. And they say, well, you should pay your fair share. You say, what do you mean? I did pay. I paid for my passage. They didn't. And they keep saying, but you should pay your fair share. See, that's the metaphor I would use on a stage to describe what this administration is. But the founding fathers were so great. The founding documents are so great. The infrastructure of this government is so great that even this gang has not been able to hijack the ship entirely. But you give them 4 more years, you're going to be off the ship, and the illegitimate will be on the ship. Mark my words, I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're playing Sleigh Ride by Leroy Anderson. I always play it on hot days. It gets me out of the doldrums. I hate the heat. I don't understand how people like heat. I don't understand it. I'm in the wrong parallel. I'm in the wrong latitude, the wrong longitude. Probably have to move to, I don't know, somewhere 10 degrees further north. Well, with global warming and all, I mean. So, let's see, popcorn, first they came for the popcorn, then they came for the soda, then they came for the this. I think we should look to Barack and Michelle Obama to see what they eat in order to determine what Bloomberg would have us eat. So we have a list of the restaurants that they've eaten in from the Washington Post. Kenny's Barbecue Smokehouse, President Obama celebrated Father's Day early at Kenny's Barbecue Smokehouse on June 13th. That would be today. And Kenny's is known for its Carolina-style Q, such as this plate of hickory-smoked pork ribs with potato salad, greens, and cornbread. I wonder if Napoleon Bloomberg would approve. They've also gone to Ray's Hell Burger, cult favorite among burger enthusiasts. Freshly ground hand-trimmed meat, gratis toppings. The Hamilton, part of the novelty of this latest restaurant, is open 7 days a week. Everything from sushi to pancakes to chicken and biscuits. For Bloomberg to oversee. Oh, yeah, mate. The most daring dish on the menu, fried grasshoppers. I guess that takes him back to his roots in Indonesia, where he sampled dog. Coco Sala, emphasis on chocolate. Now, I don't think the mayor would approve of that. Co-owner's delicate blown sugar sculptures. Ooh, that's a no-no for Bloomy. Shake Shack. Wow. Shakes? Well, they'll soon be banned in New York. So the president and the first lady better get as many as they can before they visit the city for another fundraiser. I think you get the picture. Food fascism is pretty ugly, quite hypocritical. And remember who coined the phrase? Michael Savage, 1983, in his great book, the skeptical nutritionist 30 years ahead of its time. Mississippi, Tanita, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi there. My idea for the stage would be that you could take like a cutaway, like a bumper of one of your favorite cars. You could have a small replica of your mother's kitchen, a small replica of your father's, like a collage of everything. Your father's basement with a jug of arsenic sitting up there.
What do you mean on a what? How would it be shown to the audience?
Well, it could be a wall that's built, and everything could be just collaged together, little pieces. Maybe a photograph of a mural photograph of an elephant. And then the centerpiece would be possibly a replica of one of your desks that you have in one of your studios, and you'd be sitting there at the desk.
Are you a stage designer, Tanita?
No.
You could be, though. That's a
bad idea?
No, it's not. It's a very good idea, a very good, nice idea. I'm going to send you the best anti-Obama book ever written, Trickle Down Tyranny, Stay on the Line. It's interesting you should say a collage, because I'm putting pictures together for the memoir book, Train Tracks, and my editor said, why don't we take the pictures that you've collected and put them together in a collage and make that the back cover, you know, with the center of you in Dead Man's Pants. Yeah, that's it. I found the picture, because you think I'm making it up. Everybody wants to be poor. I told you I didn't. There's no nobility in poverty. It's horrible. Somerset Maugham wrote that. I remember what a mind blower that was for me when I was reading Somerset Maugham when I was early years of traveling in the Fiji Islands. I used to buy all of these Penguin editions of novels, and you know, you had a lot of long nights there. And Somerset Maugham was one of my favorite novelists, and he said that in his experience, poverty does not ennoble. He said poverty makes people mean and nasty. He said, in fact, in his experience in life, wealth is the only thing that ennobles mankind. Poverty makes them mean and horrible. That's been my experience. And that's the truth. I guess everybody knows that except the Obama administration, which is why they still have class envy. Some have envy of body parts. They have class envy, I guess, which they can't seem to get over, which is why the Commerce Secretary crashed into so many cars. I don't know. I don't understand that one. He resigned. He had a seizure. Continuously banging into cars sounds like something other than a seizure to me. Something would tell me that if I were the cop arresting him on the spot, a little breathalyzer would have worked pretty well. I don't think they have a seizure-lizer, do they? Did they give him a seizure-lizer? No, because he's the Commerce Secretary. They hushed it up. I mean, you can't have a drunk Commerce Secretary who's one of the biggest proponents of the environment, can you? The guy was one of these wackadoodles who came to power as an environmental lawyer. You know what that means? That's like John Edwards as an individual, as a lawyer. Remember John Edwards, how he made his fortune? Remember John Edwards? Just got off with that rap. Well, put that aside. I was the only one who knew who John Edwards was. For years, I was telling you at the time that he made his fortune by decimating hospitals and doctors in the Southeast by, you know, picking juries of idiots. And he took poor, misfortunate families who had children with congenital diseases. And he said the doctors did it, or the hospital did it. And he got these fools from the Ozarks without any brain matter to say, yep, the hospital did it to the kid. And that's how he made his fortune. He decimated hospitals and doctors. And then he rode to that level where he thought he could be president. It's amazing to me. What gave him away to me was the mole on his face. Because he looked like Tom Cruise to me in some pictures. But if you turn them at a certain angle, you saw he had a mole. It was like he was marked by God. If you look carefully, you could more or less see the mark of Cain on certain people. Or at least I can. I know it's a joke. All right, take it for what it is. I'm only a shock jock. You don't believe a word I say, right? It's all made up for titillating you. The really intelligent people are on CNN. Now, there's your real journalist for you. Now, if you really want to go for intelligence, try MSNBC. That's really the society professional journalist. And if you really want to rise to the top of the heap, try Dan Rather in his heyday. Or even go to Walter Cronkite, all of the lifetime wobblies. They fed you a lie from morning till night, but we thought it was the news. How did we know? How did I know? I'd be eating the steak, the ice cream, listening to the late show, the early show, late show. And there was Walter Cronkite feeding me the lies about the world as a kid. How did I know? How did I know he was a lifetime bullshit? I had no way to know that. Kids don't know anything, which is why they are taken advantage of by the Sanduskis of the universities. And I don't just mean physically in a locker room. They feed them lies about global warming, about family, church, God, patriotism, the military, and the police on a daily basis. these re-education camps called schools are now trying to tell them what to eat and what not to eat to continue in their fascism. They're going now down to the level of food fascism. Nothing new under the sun. It's all been tried before, only it's being repackaged now under a new label. And instead of it coming at us from those in uniform from the 1930s, it's coming at us from billionaires with Upper East Side accents. Food fascism is food fascism. If you'd like to see where my speaking schedule is, it'll be posted within 2 weeks on michaelsavage.com. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. The website is... Oh, I didn't get the call where someone said bring Teddy out in a little uniform. Get John to tell you what uniform he should be wearing.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's some great audio, including an old comedian saying her income shouldn't be taxed for welfare. Well, isn't that interesting, Joan?
You're in that 1%.
Yes, I am.
That, you know, perhaps should be taxed a little
Why?
Bit.
Why?
I'm asking you how
Why?
You feel about that.
Why should I work 18 hours a day? I love my job. I think I work harder than any one of my staff. That's my choice. And I make money, yes. And I earn my money. I had nothing when I started. I slept in my car. And you want to know something? I think China's right. I don't want to take care of people with 12 children that don't even know who the fathers are. Not interested. I think get a job. I will help subsidize anybody that is working and gainfully employed. I will not subsidize someone that's got 92 children and is sitting around all day long, third generation on welfare. Not interested.
Now listen to Colin Powell singing Call Me Baby after an interview on CBS News. No comment.
Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number. So call me maybe. Charlie, it was a lock. It was a lock.
I didn't stop it.
You ran the clock out. We're talking about politics.
No, you ran the clock out.
Finally, you need to hear the master deceiver himself, President Obama, talking to supporters in Maryland.
This is the same old stuff they have been peddling for years. Although, as Bill Clinton pointed out the other day, this time their agenda's on steroids. They want even bigger tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans. They want even deeper cuts to things like education and Medicare and research and technology. They want to give banks and insurance companies even more power to do as they please. You know, and so when I hear Governor Romney say his 25 years in the private sector gives him a special understanding of how the economy works, my question is, why are you running with the same bad ideas that brought our economy to the brink of disaster? I mean, either he believes that it'll lead to a different result this time, although there's no evidence of that, or he's hoping you won't remember just what happened the last time we tried those bad ideas. And we're here to say we remember and we're not going back there. We're moving this country forward.
Now, let me tell you, this election is going to be close because folks have gone through a tough time. And no matter how many times you tell them, well, we avoided a whole bunch of really bad stuff. If you don't have a job, if your house is still underwater, if you haven't seen your income go up in a decade, you're still frustrated. You're still concerned about your kids' future, and rightly so.
And here are some of the questions we've been talking about on the program today, which, well, what do you think about this? Napoleon Bloomberg in New York is thinking about banning movie popcorn next. Do you think the homeless in San Francisco should be given stipends to take care of puppies? John King's show on CNN has been canceled. Who do you think should get the axe next on CNN? A former top CIA official has said that the U.S. response to Iranian attacks should be lethal. He says, will we be at war with Iran before the election, or am I saying that? Well, you know what I think. We read that the world that has been in love with Obama and has panned it to him has fallen out of love with him. Why is that? Has he been too liberal? Of course. And here's the biggest news of the day on MichaelSavage.com. Number two on the Wall Street Journal's bestseller list, the anti-Obama book, Trickle Down Tyranny. Get your copy now. Napoleon Bloomberg in New York. He now wants to ban popcorn. Why should he stop at soda? Go, Napoleon, go. Eric Holder sues to keep illegal voters on the voting rolls in Florida. U.S. graduation speech delivered in Spanish to honor his parents. Okay, well, why don't you read it in Mexico if you want to honor your parents? Union members are now deserting Obama. Obama losing a stunning amount of support from blacks in North Carolina. His numbers are sliding in the crucial swing state. From the BBC, world cools towards Obama. From the Enquirer, former coach testifies he saw Sandusky raping a young boy. From the AP, German far-right lawmakers removed from Parliament. CNN mocks Texas town for backing the father who killed a man trying to rape his three-year-old daughter. Now you wonder why CNN's ratings are in the garbage. Is Obama bullying the Supreme Court? Well, we'll find out soon enough, won't we? Also on MichaelSavage.com, North Dakota considers eliminating property tax. The district attorney who never charged Sandusky has been missing since 2005. His laptop was found in the Susquehanna River. Leak mystery. Who told what to whom? Savage damnation. Obama administration unmasked in Trickle Down Tyranny, the anti-Obama book. Representative West airs his first TV ad for re-election bid. We should listen to it.
I ran for the United States Congress for one reason, to continue my service to the country I love. I have seen the greatness of this country through the service of my father and my brother, a country that gave a child from Atlanta's inner city the opportunity to live the American dream, a country that inspires men and women to put everything on the line in defense of our way of life, a country of honest, hardworking people who only ask for an equal opportunity. Washington is broken, but we will fix it. We will put an end to the taxes and regulations that are killing job growth. We will put an end to a failing education bureaucracy that's leaving America's children behind. We will put an end to the wasteful spending that's destroying the future for the next generation. Some say I push too hard, that I ask too much. My response, I'm just getting started. That's the American way. I'm Alan West, and I approve this message.
Kindergartners in Gaza are taught how to blow up Zionists. Isn't that child abuse? I guess it is. Not for the UN, though. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. Wait, hang on before I go. I read an article on how the economy has affected consumers and that customer service and return policies are really now the main reasons people choose to do business with a company. Case in point, it's time to replace the blinds, shades, or shutters in your home. You take your measurements, you head off to the big home improvement store. Sure, they take your order. But when your window coverings arrive, you find out they don't fit because the schmuck from the plumbing department gave you bad advice. You trudge back and they tell you, sorry, no returns on custom orders. Not at blinds.com. Not at blinds.com. See, even if you mismeasure, which almost never happens, they'll remake it for free. Who does that? There are also over 100 real experts in-house happy to assist. Get free color samples, free shipping, and no sales tax in most states. Plus, expert installers if you need one. That's blinds.com, where their prices absolutely crush home improvement store prices. Blinds.com, I've used them for blinds. I love them, blinds.com. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You know what I've been doing today? Sure, I'm reading the news. Obama this, Obama that. Republicans nothing. Zero. There's no Republican backfire on anything. Zero, nothing, like they don't exist. John Boehner, I don't know what happened. I hope he's still living. Has anyone seen John Boehner lately? Let's do a prayer for John Boehner tonight. Has anyone seen the man? The last I saw him, he was in a pink shirt with a pink tie, talking about something. I had no idea what it was about, but he was definitely agitated about the cigarette situation in the White House. Where are they? So why wait for the election? We have participatory democracy. We have a dictatorship punctuated by democracy every 2 or 4 years. That's about it. A total dictatorship of two parties punctuated by a little democracy every 2 to 4 years. That's about it. Now, here's what I really want to ask you. I am always doing something, as you well know. So I'm planning, I finished it already, my autobiography, Train Tracks. It's mainly the stories from my earlier life. Most of them you never heard on the radio. And they're all brand new stories. It'll be out for this Christmas. And from the same publisher who did Trickle Up Poverty and Trickle Down Tyranny. It's a great book. So I'm going through pictures from my life. You know how hard it is to go through? I happen to be a photo collector. I have been all my life, okay? I'm one of those who saves them and collects them, and I don't have them annotated. They're in drawers. So what I did was I got them all together. I had thousands of them. From there I was, slender with a backpack. My son is 2 years old, hiking in the High Sierra. To me now, I don't have to tell you, I don't hike in the High Sierra. I should. I mean, I figured if 10 Norwegians could take out the heavy water plant, and some of them were a little older. I mean, it's unbelievable. Why am I not in the High Sierra? I'm not. I don't hike anymore. I hate hiking. I don't even walk the dog. I hate walking the dog. But there's pictures of me hiking. I'm slender. I'm the kid's young, everyone. So there's all sorts of pictures. Me in my science phase. Me at Kew Gardens in London with my plant collections. Me in Japan when I was given an award by the Japan Creativity Society. Me doing the Alzheimer's research. Me doing lab experiments. For one summer at Reed College when I was a very young high school teacher, it was a National Science Foundation Fellowship. So it's all sorts of pictures. It's very hard to look back on your life and select pictures for an audience, a mass audience, that's going to tell your life story to them. So I'm going to ask you a question. Audience of the Savage Nation, knowing my show, having listened to my show, some of you, for years and years and years, which pictures, which snapshots from my life would you like to see in my new book? I have to limit it to 16 pictures. What scenes from my life should I look for? I don't have one for every. I'll tell you. Let me give you a hint what I looked for. I searched all year for this, and I finally found it. You ready for this? I found a picture of me wearing pants when I was 3 or 4 years old. They were at least 10 sizes too big, cut off at the knees, sitting in my grandmother's lap in a litter-strewn lot in the Bronx, New York, to prove to you that, unfortunately, I really did wear dead man's pants. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, it's very fashionable to be poor right now. Everybody wants to be poor. If Romney could rewrite his life, he'd love to have been born in the Bronx and grown up with dead man's pants. Unfortunately, he can't. So right now, it's extremely fashionable to have been poor. Unfortunately for me, I actually was poor. And let me tell you something about it. I hated it. My entire childhood, I envied kids whose fathers had factories and they were going to go into their business. I envied anyone who had a father with money. So don't think I'm glorifying it. I hated being poor. I hated it. I dreamed that I have a rich father one day. Of course, it's impossible. I had a father. God bless him. He did the best he could as an immigrant. And then, so I got that picture to prove to you that I really did wear dead man's pants. Many of you don't believe it. It was more astounding than I could believe. There's poor little Michael Savage. Let's take a picture from the Ozarks of a moonshiner's son sitting around like an outhouse on a milk box. The kid would have been wearing the same clothing I had. It's going to be in Train Tracks. So the next thing is, now here's the creme de la creme. Pardon my French. But here is the creme de la creme, and pardon my French. I saw a picture. My cousin Sam sent me a picture of my grandfather, who died at 49, the original astronaut of the family. He came over from Europe. He had to bring the family in one by one, the way immigrants do today. He did it legally, though. He didn't sneak across the border and have the government give him welfare. He didn't sue anybody. Came here, worked his heart out, and died at 47 or 49 of a heart attack. He sent me a picture. Here it is. In fact, I'm not going to... I got to get the address exactly right, okay? Where is this picture? No, that's Dr. Cathcart. I don't want to give the whole book away. God, where is this picture? There's one of my son at 2 years old in the Fiji Islands running around with Fijian kids. So you say, why don't you travel? I did it all. I don't want to travel anymore. I lived in huts. There's nothing exciting. I hated using the facilities and the floor. There's one of my, I don't want to say it. It's kind of sad. I don't want to talk about a sad picture right now. I got to show you this picture. Nope, that's not it. I'm talking about Grandpa. I'm going to get, are you listening to me in New York on WR? Because I'm going to give you an address. I would like somebody to go down to this address today and tell me what's it. Here it is. I got it. If you're listening to me on WR and you go down to 548 East 13th Street, 548 East 13th Street, and you tell me what's there, I will send you not a turkey for Christmas, but a free copy of Train Tracks for Thanksgiving. Can anyone tell me what's at 548 East 13th Street right now? Because there is a picture of my grandfather, Sam, in front of his tailor shop, proudly, like out of The Godfather, one of those pictures, suit, tie. And Sam's wearing skinny pants, which are very in vogue right now. I was shocked. He was a high-end tailor and, you know, made suits for people. Very hard to do. I don't know how they do it today. I had a bad experience in Nordstrom the other day just trying to buy a rack suit. I felt like I was in a Subway trying to make a turkey sandwich. It was horrible. So I left. I didn't buy it. But he made suits. And there he is in skinny pants. God bless him. And in the window, there's so many interesting facets of this window. It's going to be in Train Tracks. But I found out where his store was, 548 East 13th Street. So if you're in New York, will you call us and tell me what's at 548 East 13th Street right now? Because I'd love to know. So what pictures of me, knowing my life, my versatile background, scientist, adventurer, family man, boater, ethnobotanist, Alzheimer's researcher, all these aspects, people I've talked about on the show, which pictures from my life would you like to see in my new book? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We're not doing much politics today because, you know, you can get it anywhere, internet, this and that. People's minds are elsewhere. And all day long I've been working on assembling pictures for my life for my forthcoming book in the Christmas period of Train Tracks. Interestingly enough, I'm not going to be on the cover. It's going to just be of a train in the snow. For obvious reasons, they want to get a bigger audience. They figure, leave me off the picture. They'll sell more. Symbol shot, bang. But it's actually on Amazon. It's a beautiful picture. So I go through the pictures, and one of them is my grandfather, 548 East 13th Street, his tailor shop. So I say to you in the last segment, what's there now? I'll give you a big gift. We know now because I just got a Google picture of it, but I'm going to let the listener who went down there tell us what it is. Peter, welcome from WOR. Go ahead, please, Peter.
Hi, Dr. Savage. So you're not going to believe this, but there's a church there called Church of the Bible Crusaders.
That's what I just saw on the internet. Did you just Google it? Is that how you did it?
I did it because that's the only way I could do it fast enough, and I'm a big fan, so I listened, so I Googled it.
I could not believe it. Now, this is a very significant moment on the Savage Nation. For those of you who've listened to this show since 94, this is a live show. It's not pre-planned. Things happen, sometimes good, sometimes bad.
Savage.
We have confronted the Russians about stopping their continued arms shipments to Syria. They have, from time to time, said that we shouldn't worry, everything they're shipping is unrelated to their actions internally. That's patently untrue. And we are concerned about the latest information we have that there are attack helicopters on the way from Russia to Syria, which will escalate the conflict quite dramatically.
Look, the foreign policy under the Obama administration, as I point out in trickle-down tyranny, has been an absolute and total disaster. Joining us right now on the show to talk about this is investigative reporter Ken Timmerman. Ken Timmerman, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you again.
So give us your opinion on Syria, Syria and Russia, Syria and the U.S.
Well, Michael, this is a very murky deal that's beginning to emerge today. We've learned that the Russians are selling $1 billion worth of attack helicopters to Assad in Syria. Assad is broke. The Russians no longer give away these weapons, so somebody is paying for them. We don't yet know who that is. Both Putin, by the way, and Ahmadinejad were in China recently, so there is some serious speculation on Capitol Hill and elsewhere that the Chinese may be involved, along with the Iranians, to pay for these weapons. But there's another angle which is extremely troubling, I find, and that has to do with Rosoboron Export. This is the Russian company actually selling those helicopters. It is being run by two former cronies of Vladimir Putin, people who worked with Putin in the KGB. And Putin put them in charge of Rosoboron Export, which handles all of Russia's arms exports. The speculation, again, that's been rife in European intelligence circles for many years is that Putin is getting a cut on many of these overseas sales. He's probably getting a cut on the sale to Syria. And here's the kicker. He's also probably getting a cut on a $1 billion U.S. taxpayer-subsidized sale of Russian helicopters to the government of Afghanistan.
Well, what can we do as a country that does not involve sending troops to help end what is going on right now in Syria?
Well, Michael, I am not in favor of sending troops to Syria. I do not think that we have an abiding national security interest in what's going on in Syria. Yes, this is a civil war. I think that's pretty clear. But the sides are murky. You have the Muslim Brotherhood against Assad. Frankly, between the two of them, I hope they succeed in reducing each other's numbers to a great extent. Neither are friends of the United States. There are some good players on the ground inside Syria. There's some of the Kurdish parties who are pro-Western, pro-democracy, who do not work with the Russian Brotherhood. And in the middle of this, Michael, you have the Christian community, 10% of Syria's population, that are getting whacked by both sides. They're getting whacked by the Muslim Brotherhood, and they're getting whacked by Assad. We do not have an abiding national security interest in this. However, we can do things like enforce sanctions. We can try to exert diplomatic pressure on the Assad government, economic pressure on the Assad government to isolate them at the United Nations. These are tools of American diplomacy, which we ought to be using, and the Obama administration, in its amateurness, has not been doing so.
The big national security leak story just won't go away. In your opinion, Ken, what must be done to stop this leaking and make sure it doesn't happen again?
Well, Michael, clearly administrations leak. Democrat administrations leak. Republican administrations leak. But I've never seen this type of brazen White House leaking before, where you have reporters saying, you know, high-placed administration sources, and you learn the people who were at those briefings, for example, about cyber warfare attacks on Iran. You learn that it was really very small. There were a very, very small number of people in those briefings, most of them White House officials, people like David Axelrod, who's a political player, who's really not a national security player, but he's on Obama's reelection team. Axelrod would seem to be somebody who would have an interest in pumping up Obama's national security record, which was clearly the object of these leaks. They were trying to make the president look good. They were trying to show that he was decisive and in charge, when I think, in fact, most of us understand, at least who follow the intelligence world pretty closely, that he's not decisive, and he's following the lead of people in the intelligence and the special operations community in the military who make suggestions to him. And to his credit, he goes along with those suggestions. But he is not in the lead. He's not in charge. He's going along with it.
What about Iran? Has any progress been made at stopping them from getting their hands on a nuclear weapon?
I'm very worried, Michael, about these recurring, ongoing, extensive, never-ending talks with Iran. Let's not forget the Persians invented the game of chess. And they're looking several moves ahead as we just go from one city to another. It's really musical cities. If it's Tuesday, it must be Istanbul. If it's Thursday, it's going to be Moscow. The Iranians have bought a lot of time through these talks. They're trying to get the United States to make pretty significant concessions, such as allowing them to retain an ability to enrich uranium, which I believe would completely vitiate the entire sanctions regime. In fact, would vitiate U.S. policy. It would be a total contradiction and a repudiation of U.S. policy, not just the policy of the previous administration, but Obama's policy as well, which has been to put economic and political and diplomatic pressure on the Iranian regime. I think these talks are doomed for failure. I think they are a mistake from the get-go, and I think instead we ought to be ratcheting up the pressure on the Islamic regime in Tehran by helping the pro-freedom movement on the ground.
Hey, Ken, will Israel really attack Iran before the November elections to help Obama get reelected? I think so.
Well, you know, Michael, there's an old saying in Washington and other capitals of people who deal with the intelligence issues, them that know don't talk, and them that talk don't know. So I'm just going to tell you that would be a prediction I would not be willing to hazard in public.
Where can we read more?
Well, you know, these days, Michael, I've taken on a political campaign. I'm running against Chris Van Hollen, who is a top Democrat in Congress from Maryland. We have a poll out just recently that shows me within striking distance of Van Hollen. He's going to have to spend a lot of money in this district if he wants to keep a seat. I am going to make sure that he doesn't keep his seat. I got into this because we just became grandparents for the first time, and I realized that new baby born last year is born with $50,000 of new debt. I think it's outrageous. I think it's criminal. Our children and our grandchildren will never forgive us if we don't turn the ship around.
Ken Timmerman, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great to talk to you. Again, the campaign's going great. TimmermanForCongress.com. I'm in Maryland running against Chris Van Hollen, one of the top leaders of the Democrat Party.
Savage.
So I'm studying ukulele. I really didn't like it. I hate learning anything. It's hard for me. Learning the chords with the Fressels, whatever, I couldn't do it. The hands and the C chord, I was going nuts from it. I said, he's a great guy, by the way, but he could play so beautifully. I said, just play the instrument, please, and let me copy you. Let me learn by ear. He made me try to learn freckles and Fressels and Fressels and Fressing. I didn't know what I was learning. But I learned the C chord so I could do... Who knows? From the shillelagh to the ukulele in one generation. Welcome to That's a Beowulf's Line. It's very funny. Unlike O'Reilly, I don't use a shillelagh. I use a ukulele. I do not see one campaign on either side speaking about borders, language, and culture the way it needs to be discussed, because that's what America should be defined by. It's borders, it's language, and it's culture. Not by the economy per se. Of course the economy is important, because without it we all basically have nothing. But borders, language, and culture are the soul of a nation, the definition of a nation, and no one's better defined a nation's parameters than Michael Savage. So I'm going to ask my audience again, which pictures from my life would you like to see in my new book? Let's start in New York. Sally, WOR, go ahead, please.
I'd love to see a picture of you when you worked at Shanks Paramount Hotel.
Oh, I wish I had one of me as a lifeguard. I don't. I have one of me at the pool as a younger boy at the Riverview Hotel, where I was a kid lifeguard. I was a lifeguard at the Shanks and a waiter, but I don't have that picture. I have a picture of me as a kid at the pool when I was lifting weights. You'll see it's a hilariously funny picture at 15 where I'm flexing my lats, my triceps. In a V-shirt. Those are funny days. I was working out incessantly, like three times a day, trying to, you know, not be the skinny kid getting sand kicked in his face. It's a great picture. You're going to see it, me in the V-shirt, trying to be a tough guy. It's very funny, the picture. This is experimental radio. Let me tell you something. You know, you can get news anywhere on the news station. You can get commentary anywhere, and I do it. Do you mind me doing this right now? I'm enjoying it. I'm sure it's a relief for you. You know where I stand politically right now. You know what's going on, basically. And for me to keep repeating it every day is boring at this point, unless there's something tremendous in the news. You know, what's the point? I think this is experimental radio at its best, frankly. I hope you do. I hope you're enjoying the show. Let's go to Maurice in New York on WOR, if I can find Maurice. Maurice, go ahead. I understand you're actually at the address 548 East 13th Street right now.
Mike, I was taking the FDR home to New Jersey. When I heard you call, I got off the parkway on Houston Street, I got to be honest. I might have took a couple likes on the way, but I got here, and I'm here right now for you. Looking right at it.
Describe to my audience of millions of people across America, tell them what you see.
Mike, I am standing on the corner of 13th Street and Avenue B. It's a very unique place because I'm looking at the address, and I see One Lord Overall Interracial Worship Bible Crusade Assembly standing right in front of me. I look to the right of it, right next door, and I see a beautiful mural that says Roberto Clemente Center. It's a center for the community called South Manhattan Healthcare Network. I look to the corner. I see a six-story beautiful condo of apartments that must go for about $1 million each.
You know what's amazing, Maurice? Maurice, this is astounding because I'm on the Google picture. To the left and right of this church where my grandfather's tailor shop stood, the tenements that were there at that time are still standing, but the building in which his store stood is gone. It's a blank lot except for this little tiny church. It's like a little one-story whitewashed story, a church front with nothing behind it. The building was knocked down where the store was, and this church was put up. What does that say to you, Maurice, truthfully?
That's correct. It's a very if you look at what I'm looking at right now, you see people on the corner. There's Puerto Rican flags, people proud of Puerto Rico. There's immigrants from all over on this block, right on this corner. To the left of it, there's a place called East Yoga where you have yuppies coming in to do yoga. Saloon 13 right next to it. People having happy hour right after work. It's a very, very unique block I'm looking at right here, Mike.
And then I see expensive condos called Swendragon Restaurant and Condos, a Korean store.
If I go to the corner, there's a six-story building, condos with, it looks like you could be in Miami, with beautiful terraces on the corner. There's an East Village Cafe right next to
Well, Maurice, you're a real devotee of my show. For you to get off the, which expressway were you on?
I was looking at 2 hours of traffic on the SDR. I got off on Houston Street. There were a couple red lights that I got to be honest, I kind of overlooked to get to be the first one here.
Well, how can I buy you a drink now? You're on the site of my grandfather, may he rest in peace, of his store. Now it's a church. You're all alone there, strung out. I'm not going to be with you. Can you go in the bar and buy a drink and send me the bill?
You know what I'll tell you, Mike? My grandfather came from Cuba. He wound up on 76 Clinton Street. Same story, different
God.
Block, Mike.
Isn't that amazing how amazing this particular day is for the Savage Nation, Maurice? I don't know what to say to you other than thank you very much, and please stay on the line and give my guys your email address. I'll get you a copy of Train Tracks when it's ready in October, November. I don't know when it's going to be out. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I never saw anything like this. So what would you like to do? I'll go back to politics in a minute. I don't even want to go back there. I just don't even want to go there. My mind is not there right now. Obama's saying the private sector is doing fine. Then Obama backtracking to say the economy is not doing fine. It's interesting stuff, but so what? What are you going to learn that you don't know already? Right? I mean, what are you learning that you don't know already? I went down to San Francisco to take a bike ride. I looked down, and there were no wheels on my bike. I looked across the street and realized in San Francisco there was no street. I asked myself, how can I be on a bike if there are no wheels and no street? And then I realized it was just another nightmare. Yeah, Savage's Beatnik Cafe. The Savage Nation Beatnik Cafe. Let's get out of New York for 1 minute to the callers around America. I mean, I have such devoted callers, it's funny. I'd like to start in the middle of the country in Michigan right now. Brad in Michigan, go ahead. What picture would you like to see in Train Tracks when it comes out?
I believe the word you're looking for may be inspirational for the picture of your grandfather.
And you mean with the church that it's there, now, that it's a church now?
Yes, it was definitely. It kind of shows... coming from immigration into to America, it's an inspiration. And the picture of you and your father in a shop is definitely a must because...
Yeah, but I don't have one. Would you believe, Brad, I have not one picture ever taken of me and my father's shop cleaning bronzes or anything else. All the years, I never got a picture. Would you believe? They weren't into pictures, those guys. They were definitely like hardcore old world guys. No pictures. Put the camera away. What do you think this is? A joke? We're not in a zoo. Put that pic. That's how they were. They wouldn't let you. They were very much like the, I hate to say it, I mean, these were honest little businessmen, but they had the same mentality as Sicilians in another line of work. Let's put it that way. You point to the camera at them, they would knock the camera down. They didn't want pictures. I don't know what it was. No, no pictures. They want pictures. It was like, I know they were like from another country. They thought you were taking their soul inside the picture or whatever. I don't know. No, I have no pictures of that. Let's go to the callers. Get rid of line three. Hartford, Connecticut. Mark, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I have a very clear sepia-toned picture of you in the dead man's pants, and I can obviously see what you look like now very easily. I want to see.
Wait. How do you have a picture of that?
Well, I'm an artist, so the way you've talked about it over the years, all of your stories, I can very.
And you're saying, in other words, in your head, you can picture it.
Yeah. I think I have a pretty accurate view of that, but I don't. What I don't have in my mind is that point right before you were on the radio. That transition point between.
Yes. You know, okay. I've got pictures of me as a. I was a consultant in the nutrition field to major pretty big corporations, and I gave speeches around the world on the value of certain nutrients, nutritional supplements, as a matter of fact, including in Malaysia. I have some of those pictures, and they're very good pictures, and they're immediately they predate radio. At the same time, I have pictures of me in Japan at the Japan Creativity Society when I was invited because of my creative work for a small award of me there with Japanese lettering over me, an English translation of the Japan Creativity Society. Very interesting. I also found pictures of me in the Alzheimer's research area when I was doing a scientific paper. But those all predate radio, all of that.
Well, I think everybody knows what a caterpillar looks like, and everybody knows what the butterfly looks like. But I think it's that transition point inside the chrysalis that I would like
Whoa.
To see.
Wow. You know something? That's beautiful, but that's something only a... Buñuel could do in a movie. You know what I'm saying? I need Buñuel to do that movie.
Well, you know what?
I need Louis Buñuel to come back from the dead. I need Louis Buñuel to say, I'm going to do a movie about the transition from the caterpillar to the butterfly in your life. And I want to know what hell you were going through that drove you into radio. I'd like to know what forces were operating that put you almost off the earth, that led you at the age of 50 years of age to find and start a new career when most people would have rolled over and given up and died. They would have gotten a catastrophic illness and died from the stress you were under. How did you make that transition to radio, Michael? See, only an artist could do that. I can't do it myself, even though I think I just did it.
Savage.